ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹாம். ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹாம். ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாத்தோ பிரம்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசாம் ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்ய யதஹாம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத் சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். ஃபஸ்ட் சாப்டர் தேர்ட் பாதம் த்யுவாததிகரணம் த்யுவாத்யாயதனம் சப்தாத் முக்தோபசுப்ய வ்யபதேசாத் ந அனுமானம் அதச்சப்தாத் பிராணபிருச்ச பேதவ்யபதேசாத் பிரகரணாத் ஸ்தித்யதனாப்யாஞ்ச. பூமாதிகரணம் பூமாம் சம்பிரசாதாத் அத்யுபதேசாத் தர்மோபபத்தேஷ்ச. அக்ஷராதிகரணம் அக்ஷரம் அம்பராந்தர்த்ருதேஹே சாச்ச பிரசாசனாத் அந்யபாவவியாவ்ருத்தேஷ்ச. ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம வ்யபதேசாதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம வ்யபதேசாத் சஹாம். தஹராதிகரணம் தஹர உத்தரேப்யஹ கதிசப்தாப்யாம் ததாஹி த்ருஷ்டம் லிங்கஞ்ச. த்ருதேஷ்ச மஹிம்னஹ அஸ்ய அஸ்மின் உபலப்தேஹே பிரசித்தேஷ்ச. இதர பராமர்ஷாத் சயிதி சேத் நாசம்பவதி. உத்தராச்சேத் ஆவிர்பூத ஸ்வரூபஸ்து அந்யார்த்தஸ்ச பராமர்ஷஹ அல்பஶ்ருத்யேரிதி சேத் ததுக்தம். அனுக்ருத்யதிகரணம் அனுக்ருதேஸ்தஸ்ய ச அபி ச ஸ்மர்யதே. பிரமிதாதிகரணம் ஷப்தாதேவ பிரமிதஹ ஹ்ருத்யபேக்ஷயாது மனுஷ்யாதிகாரத்வாத். வி ஆர் சீயிங் த 25th சூத்ர ஆஃப் தேர்ட் பாதா ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் 88th ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ர. அண்ட் வி ஆர் டிஸ்கஸிங் பிரமிதாதிகரணம் தி 7th அதிகரணம் ஆஃப் தி 3rd பாதா ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் பிரம்மசூத்ர. அண்ட் வி சா தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சூத்ர ஷப்தாதேவ பிரமிதா எஸ்டர்டே. நவ் தி செகண்ட் சூத்ர தட் வி ஜஸ்ட் ரெட் தட் இஸ் ஹிருத்யபேக்ஷயாது மனுஷ்யாதிகாரத்வாத் தட் சூத்ர இட் ஆன்சர்ஸ் அனதர் பாசிபிள் க்வெஸ்சன். அண்ட் இஃப் யூ டாக் ஆஃப் த லிமிடேஷன் ஆஃப் பரமாத்மா whether it is for the sake of upasana or because of some upadhi, some conditioning factor, for example, why should the Upanishad refer to the size or the thumb of all things in creation? For that, Vyasacharya answers. First, we will see now actually the general analysis. So Vyasacharya says, the Paramatma obtains in the mind of everyone as the sakshi or witness. Though Paramatma is everywhere, sakshi manifestation is not everywhere, because everywhere it is jada prapancha, where sakshi manifestation is not there. Whereas in the mind alone, Paramatma obtains as sakshi witness. That is why it is called upalabdhi sthanam, the place of manifestation, upalabdhi sthana. Generally, the scriptures, they say figuratively that Paramatma is in the mind. But Paramatma is everywhere. As it obtains in the mind as sakshi, we compromise and say Paramatma is in the mind. For that, one explanation is Paramatma is manifest in the mind, or we can say Paramatma is in the mind also. And according to scriptures, mind is in the heart. And we are talking about the physical heart only. Therefore, Paramatma is in the heart. And now what is the size of the heart? We know the size of the heart is such that it will occupy the space indicated by our fist. So Paramatma is within the container of this size, fist size, within within that, how much can be accommodated in the fist size? The Upanishad says, try to put your thumb within. So therefore, Paramatma is at the size of the thumb, as it were. The thumb can fit into the fist. Therefore, Angushta Matraha Iva Purushaha. Then the question is, how you say that heart is of the size of the fist? In the case of an elephant, the heart will be much bigger. The heart can be bigger in the case of big animals. The heart is size, the size of the heart may vary. Since elephants do not study Vedas, we need not have to worry about that. Therefore, Manushya Adhikaratvat, we are not saying anything, Acharya says all that. So Manushya Adhikaratvat, humans alone study the Upanishads, so we will worry about human heart only, which is at the size of a human fist. Therefore, Manushya Hridi Apekshaya, Angushta Matratvam, Natu Gaja Hridaya Apekshaya, Natu, for example, Blue Whale Hridaya Apekshaya. It's also another big animal. So you take only Manushya Hridayam here. Since Manushya, they study Upanishads. This is the general analysis. Now we will go to the word analysis. And the sutra contains three words, namely Hridyapekshaya, one compound word, then tu, and then Manushyadika Karanatvat. So we have to supply Angushta Matratva. Now the order of the words is what? Hridi Apekshaya Tu Angushta Matratvam Manushyadikaratvat. That is how we will read this sloka, this sutra. So Hridi Apekshaya Tu Angushta Matratvam Manushyadikaratvat. Now we will take each word one by one and do word analysis. So first word is what? Hridyapekshaya. Hridi Apekshaya, Hridyapekshaya. And we have to add a word Manushya. And make one compound word. So Manushya Hridi Apekshaya. So Manushya Hridi Apekshaya, one compound word from the standpoint of human heart. That is the size of the human heart. Angushta Matratvam, the size of the human heart. And the size of the thumb is mentioned here. And Manushyadikaratva means because human beings alone are qualified to study the scriptures. Adhikaritvam is there for the human beings, not animals, elephants or anything. So the word tu, it indicates the Purvapaksha Nirashaha. Purvapakshi's objection is not valid. And what objection was not valid with the Purvapakshi's objection was, why do you take human heart only and not anything else? Therefore, the conclusion of this adhikaranam, Angushta Matra Purushaham, occurring in where? Kathopanishad. As I mentioned, the context should be very clearly mentioned when you analyze Brahma Sutras. So, Angushta Matra Purushaham, occurring in Kathopanishad, is only Paramatma. And Shankaracharya gives two additional support also for this argument, because the Purvapakshi quoted Satyavan's story. If you remember yesterday, I mentioned that story, Satyavan story, Satyavan Savitri story, to support his Jivatma argument. Shankaracharya, he takes Shruti support from Kathopanishad itself, second chapter, sixth section, 17th mantra of Kathopanishad. Angushta Matraham Purushaham Antaratma Sada Jananam Hridaye Sannivishtaha Tam Swacharira Pravrhved Munjadivam Yushikam Dairyena Tam Vidya Chukram Amritam Tam Vidya Chukram Amritam Iti. That is the Kathopanishad mantra, second chapter, sixth section, 17th mantra. And in this mantra, the Upanishad very clearly says that Angushta Matra Purusha is Amritam Brahma. Therefore, Angushta Matra Brahma also refers to Paramatma. That also refers to Paramatma. We don't say always it refers to Paramatma, because in Satyavan's story, it refers to Vachyartha Jivatma. We saw it yesterday. Here it is Lakshyartha. This is first reason. And the second support that Acharya quotes is at the end of the 13th mantra of the same Upanishad, where the Upanishad says, Yetat Vaitat. This Purusha is the one that you want to know. Yetat Vaitat, it says at the end of the sutra, of the mantra. For that, we should remember the context of Kathopanishad also. The Upanishad is the teaching of Yama Dharma Raja to Nachiketas. And Nachiketas has asked three boons. And in the third boon, among the three boons, the third boon he wanted to know Paramatma, which was given in Kathopanishad 1.2.14. And we already saw that mantra, Anyatra Dharmat, Anyatra Dharmat, Anyatra Smat, Krita Kritat, Anyatra Bhuta Chabhavyacham, Yattat Pashyati Tadvada. Where Nachiketas asked clearly, he asked him to teach about Brahman. And Yamadharma Raja, after talking about Purushaha, he says that this Purusha is Paramatma, which you asked for through your third boon in Mantra 1.2.14 of Kathopanishad. And this also makes it very clear that Angushta Matra Purushaha is Lakshyartha Jivatma, which is Paramatma only and not Vachyartha Jivatma. With this, the second sutra and the Adhikaranam and the sutra is also. Now we'll present the conclusion in our regular way of this Adhikaranam, in our five-factor way. We call it five-factor way. First is Vishayaha. Vishayaha is the subject matter. Subject matter is what? Angushta Matra Purushaha of Kathopanishad 2.1.13. And second is Samshaya, the doubt. It does it refer to the limited, to the samsari jivatma, or does it refer to the limitless asamsari paramatma? And third is Purvapaksha. Purvapakshi, what does he say? He says it refers to jivatma only because of the size of the thumb as mentioned. And also the Satyavan Savitri story. He got it from Mahabharata. That also we mentioned yesterday. And the Siddhanta says Angushta Matra Purushaha refers to Paramatma only based on the second line. Second line of the mantra was what? Ishano Sarva Bhutasya. And the size is seeming size and not a factual size. Yesterday we talked about seeming size, factual size and all that. And the fifth factor is called Sangatihi. Sangatihi is the fifth point, that it is the sutra occurs in the right place. The Adhikaranam is placed in the right place. With this, the Adhikaranam, seventh topic is over. Now let us go to the eighth topic, and that is called Devata Adhikaranam. Devata Adhikaranam. So this has sutras 26-33. Tat Uparyapi Badarayanaha Sambhavat. Tat Uparyapi Badarayanaha Sambhavat is the sutra, 26th sutra of third pada, first chapter, 89th running Brahma Sutra. So we are entering now into the next Adhikaranam, and the description of the privilege of study of Vedas and meditation is continued here in this particular sutra also. First, let us do this general introduction of this Adhikaranam, and this consists of 8 sutras. And this and the next Adhikaranam, they are extension of the previous Adhikaranam. So these two Adhikaranams, they answer 2 questions out of the previous Adhikaranam that we just saw. And they are discussed incidentally, and it is called Prasanga Sangatihi. So this Adhikaranam has no separate Vishayavakya. And we are taking the same Kathopanishad mantra 2.1.13 as the Vishayavakyam for this Adhikaranam also. Angushta Matra Purushaha Jyotiriva Adhumakaha Ishano Bhutabhavyasya Sayevadya Savushvaha Etad Vaitat. So the same mantra that we used earlier, we are using in previous Adhikaranam, we used 2 mantras, 12 and 13. Now we are using 13. Of Kathopanishad 2.1.13. So what is the question that may arise out of the previous Adhikaranam? We discussed that the Kathopanishad mantra concerning the Angushta Matratvam, and in the second sutra, it was said that Paramatma is said to be the size of human thumb, because human beings alone study the scriptures. Since Paramatma is obtaining a sakshi in the mind, Paramatma is figuratively called Paramatma is of the size of the mind. So Manushyadhikaratvatam, that is used in the previous Adhikaranam, and human beings alone have the right to study Vedas. Vikasa Adhikaritva, Adhikaritvam. So the question now is whether Manushyas alone have the right to study Vedas or others, Devatas also have the right to study Vedanta Jnana. Here the subject matter is whether Devatas have the right to study Vedas. And if you go on, you know, Nastika approach or purely practical approach, this Adhikaranam has no relevance at all. Because we do not know much about the existence of Devatas, heavens and all that thing at all. So if we believe in Shastra and believe in Swargaloka and believe in Devatas, then this Adhikaranam is going to be relevant. It is purely otherwise an academic Adhikaranam. Because of the topic alone, it has got the name Devata Adhikaranam. Devata Adhikaranam. So the name is based on subject matter, and it is, it being Devata Adhikaraham, it is called the Devadatikaram. And we do not have a separate mantra vakyam, as I told, Vishaya vakyam here, because it is an extension of the previous Adhikaranam, as I mentioned. For this also, Vishaya vakyam is 2.1.13 of Kathopanishad. Now the question is whether this Angushta Matra applies to Devatas also, and that is discussed in this Adhikaranam. And our Siddhanta conclusion is what? Devatas also have Shastra Adhikaraha. Devata also can get Atma Jnanam by studying under the Devata Guru. Now we will discuss the first sutra now. Vyasacharya says that Devatas have got Shastra Adhikara. He says for higher beings, Adhikara is there for them also. Higher beings means what? Those who live in higher lokas. For having the adhikara or the rights. To have the adhikara, they prescribe three conditions. Who can have the adhikara to learn Vedas, Vedanta? Devatas fulfill all three conditions and therefore they have Shastra Adhikaraha. And now what are the three conditions? Number one, Arthitvam. Number two, Dakshatvam. And three, Apratishiddhatvam. Apratishiddhatvam. Actually, the original word is aparyu dasatattva. That is the original word, but apradishiddhatvam seems to be much more easier to handle. So artitva means the need or requirement for shastra should be there for anybody to study shastras. For example, shastra deals with dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And unless one is desirous of one of the four, at least the shastra is going to be relevant. Because Shastra deals with the rituals for acquiring Kama, Artha, Dharma, and the Jnanam for acquiring Moksha. So if I'm not interested in any one of the four, I do not become eligible for any of the Arthitvam, Dharma, Arthi, Kama, Arthi, Dharma. See, actually in Vishnu Sahasrara Parashrutam we have seen, Dharma, Arthi, Prapuniyat, Dharmam, Artha, Arthi, Chartam, Apuniyat, Kama, Navapuniyat, Kami, Prajati, Chapuniyat, Prajaha. So artitvam is required for using a means. That is why animals do not seek anyone of the four purusharthas at all. They don't have need of shastra because they don't have artitvam. And even a jnani does not have artitvam also. In Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, Karma Yoga, Krishna said, naiva tasya krite nartaha na krite neha kaschana. Nachasya sarva bhuteshu kaschidartavya pashrayaha. So for a jnani also, tatra vedaha, vedaha, avedaha bhavanti. Veda is not required for a jnani. Therefore, the condition for shastradhikara is artitvam. That is required, desire to acquire the purusharthas, the ends mentioned in the shastras. And the second condition is dakshatvam. Dakshatva means the capacity. Mere desire alone is not enough. There should be financial capacity, physical capacity is required. All organs should be fit. So, vikalanghanam shastrena adhikaraha. Andha pangvadinam shastrena adhikaraha. For the deaf and dumb and other physically, mentally challenged people, physical body should be fit for doing karmas and rituals. So we saw Panta Yajna in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad.
Panta Yajnam, we need that five factors. There should be spouse, there should be putra, there should be money. Devam Bittam, Manusham Bittam, all that we saw, they are all required as stated in Brihadaranyaka for doing any ritual. And all these come under what? Dakshatva, the capacity. And the third condition is apratishiddhatvam. Shastra's permission is required. Shastra should not have negated the permission. For example, a ritual meant for a grahastha alone is permitted, like Agnihotra and all are permitted only to grahasthas. That means sannyasi or brahmachari should not do that. Therefore, brahmachari and sannyasi, they come under pratishiddha category. He may have artitvam. He may have dakshatvam also, money, physical fitness, all that can be there. Even then, he cannot do that because he has apratishiddhatvam. He is not qualified to do that ritual. And a person without Upanayana Samskara is not traditionally permitted for Veda Adhyayanam. Even if he has got artitvam and dakshatvam, for adhikara, apratishiddhatvam, that permission is required. Desire, capacity, and scriptural permission are required for Shastra Adhikara. Now, our point is whether devatas have all these three conditions fulfilled to perform rituals and gain Shastra Jnanam. That means if the three factors are there in the devatas, they can study Shastras. And Shankaracharya in his commentary shows that all three conditions the devatas fulfill. Because Vyasacharya uses the word sambhavat. Because conditions are there, artitvam, that is, the Acharya Shankaracharya says, devatas have got desire for moksha also. Because they are also samsaris. Samsari, but they may be comfortable samsari. Air conditioned comfort samsaris. How? Because we have seen in Taittiriya Upanishad, teyeshatam manushya gandharvanam anandaha, sayeko deva gandharvanam anandaha, ते ये शतम देवगंधर्वानामानंदाः सायेक आजान जानाम देवानामानंदाः आनंदाः. So they also suffer samsara as we have seen in Taittiriya Upanishad. They do not have purna ananda. Their ananda also is subject to increase and decrease. Taratamyam vartate, gradation. They also have gradation, mortality. They also have ragadvesha. Indra is always frightened the moment anyone does an Ashwamedha Yajna. Therefore, he discourages people. He even steals their horses. He uses all these Ramba, Urvashi, all those celestial damsels to distract them, the tapas yajna. All the time they are afraid of their position. And they yearn to get out of samsara also. They also have raga, dvesha, bhaya, paricheda, vikara, all of them there. That is called artitvam here. And the desire to gain any others. And the second condition is dakshatvam. And Shankaracharya says, dakshatvam is capacity, as I told. So Shankaracharya, so he shows devatas also have capacity because they have physical bodies. Devatas have physical bodies. Since devatas are not knowable through our pramanas and can be known only through Shastra Pramanam, Shastras clearly talk about devatas' bodies, devatas' weapons, devatas' vahanas, all of them. Lam Indraya Vajrahastaya. So Indra has got Vajrahastam. Lam Agnaye Shaktihastaya. So Agni Devata has got Shaktihastam. Shakti, these are the weapon Shakti in his hastam. So for every devata, Vayu, Indra, Agni, all of them, there is a body, there is vahana, there is weapon. They are all described in the scriptures. Therefore, they have physical body and we have to take Shastra as pramanam to know that. This is called Vigrahavatva. We will analyze more of this actually. Vigrahavatva. Vigraha means body. Vatva means possession. So devatas possess the body. And that also, a fit and healthy body. Attain classes, do shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and to attain moksha. They have all the requirements like enough money, good body, good family, wife, and all that. And we will focus here on the body. The proof is what? Shastra pramanam only. Shastras is the proof. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ వజ్రహస్త పురంధర శాస్త్రాస్యే వజ్రహస్త పురంధర పురంధర ఇంద్ర. దెన్ ద థర్డ్ కండిషన్ ఈస్ అప్రతిషిద్ధత్వం, శాస్త్రిక్ పర్మిషన్. దే హ్యావ్ ఆల్సో గాట్ పర్మిషన్ టు స్టడీ ద స్క్రిప్చర్స్, దే ఆర్ నాట్ నెగేటెడ్ టు స్టడీ స్క్రిప్చర్స్. దెన్ ఎ క్వశ్చన్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ ద ట్రెడిషనల్ కన్వెన్షన్ విల్ కమ్. వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్? ది వేదిక్ స్టడీ ఈస్ అలౌడ్ ఓన్లీ ఫార్ దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ హ్యావ్ గాన్ త్రూ ఉపనయన సంస్కార. దట్ ఈస్ ద రూల్. టు బికమ్ ఎ ద్విజ వన్ షుడ్ గో త్రూ ఉపనయన సంస్కార. దర్ఫోర్ వెదర్ ద దేవతాస్ హ్యావ్ గాట్ ఉపనయన సంస్కార టు స్టడీ శాస్త్ర ఆర్ నాట్ విల్ బి ఎ క్వశ్చన్. అండ్ దేవతాస్ ఉపనయనం ఈస్ నాట్ సెడ్ ఎనీవేర్ ఇన్ ద శాస్త్రాస్. ఫార్ బ్రాహ్మణ ఇట్ ఈస్ సెడ్ 8 ఇయర్స్, క్షత్రియాస్ 11 ఇయర్స్, అండ్ వైశ్యాస్ 12-13 ఇయర్స్, అండ్ ఆల్ దేర్ ఆల్ వేరియస్ సమ్ ప్రిస్క్రిప్షన్స్ ఆర్ దేర్ ఇన్ శాస్త్రాస్. ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఇన్ ద శాస్త్రాస్ దో, బట్ దేవతాస్ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఉపనయన సంస్కార. Therefore, they don't have right to study the Shastra. And a question might come, for the Shankaracharya says, Upanayana is meant for the study or memorization of Vedas only. Upanayana is meant for the study of Vedas and memorization of the Vedas. Memorization is a prerequisite for inquiry. Upanayana is needed for the sake of knowing Veda. Veda Adhyayanam is first. And Veda Vichara is the second process. And one should know how to chant the Vedas. Thereafter comes Veda Mimamsa, inquiry. And it is also twofold. Veda Purva and Veda Uttara Mimamsa. Veda Purva Mimamsa, Karma Kanda. Veda Uttara Mimamsa, Jnana Kanda. So Purva Mimamsa deals with rituals. Uttara Mimamsa deals with knowledge, Jnanam. So a person enters Brahmacharya Ashrama, study Vedas by heart, and then he studies Veda Purva Mimamsa and Veda Anta Mimamsa also. Then he should inquire into Veda Purva Bhaga Mimamsa also. So these two are done in Brahmacharya Ashrama. Then in Grihastha Ashrama, the Purva Mimamsa, which deals with the rituals, Karmakanda portion, they should be implemented. Grihastashrama. There are 41 samskaras are mentioned, right from garbhadhanam, conception, till antyeshti. So many rituals are there, which one a person is supposed to do during grihastashrama. And in vanaprasthashrama also, Veda Purva Bhaga implementation is done. Many of them concentrating on upasanas. And in Sannyasa Ashrama, it is Vedanta Vicharaha. Vedanta Vichara, this is the Vedic scheme. Brahmacharya Ashrama learning, Grihastha Ashrama implementation, Vanaprastha Ashrama again implementation, and Sannyasa Ashrama implementation means Upasanas also, and Sannyasa Ashrama Vedanta. Whether Purva or Purva Mimamsa or Vedanta Mimamsa, Veda Adhyayanam is a must. And the Atashabda Vicharaha, Athab, Om Athab, when Brahmaji created Atashabda Vijara, Shankaracharya says in the Bhashyam, Veda Adhyayanam tu Samanam. It is a prerequisite for Veda Purva Mimamsa and Veda Anta Mimamsa also. And according to our tradition, Veda Adhyayanam requires Upanayana Samskara. For Devas, Upanayanam is not mentioned, as I mentioned earlier. And therefore, they do not do Veda Adhyayanam, and therefore, they cannot do Mimamsa Vedanta Vichara. Tasma Devanam Adhikaraha Katam Sambhavati. That is the question. How they can get the Adhikara to learn that. And we already said all these are all academic, okay? Don't go into a lot of search into this. And Shankaracharya says, Devatas do not require Upanayanam or Adhyayanam to chant Veda, but still, because of the very Devata's status, they will have the knowledge of Vedic chanting from birth. Not like our 9-month pregnancy, labor, bathroom and all that thing. They straight away attain a youthful body. It will stay for a long time and will disappear also. No problem of garbhavasa, kaumaram, yavanam, all those things they don't have. So even they acquire an adult body, they will acquire Veda Pata Jnanam also, Veda Pata Jnanam also they will get. Therefore, Devatas are given the title Swayam Bhata Veda. It means by birth, they have the knowledge of Vedic chanting. Since they have Vedic Jnanam, they can do Veda Vicharam even without Upanayana Samskara because of their extraordinary status. Therefore, what are the three conditions now? Number one, Devadas have got desire for moksha, artitvam. And Devadas have got the physical capacity for Shastraic study because they have got body, they are embodied. So, dakshatvam. And Devadas can do Vedic inquiry since they have Veda chanting jnana. Therefore, adhikaraha vartate. Tasmate angushta matraha means Manushya, Deva, Angushta Matra, Purushaha, both included. Not only Manushya, Angushta Matraha, Deva, Deva, Angushta Matra, Purushaha. And there is an incident point also. When Shankaracharya says, Devas have physical body, remember, their physical bodies are not like our physical body. It is all only our imagination, all our pictures. Their physical bodies are physical enough to do their vyavahara, but not physical enough for our perception. If they have body, physical body, one should not ask, why I don't see them? It is a subtle physical body. Then how do we know that they have physical body at all? Shastra is the pramana. Even though we cannot see it, Shastra says. And we are all astikas, we believe in Shastras, and so we say what the Shastra says, we believe. And we have to note one thing here, that this topic will become more elaborated in the next sutra, where our contention is going to be whether Devadas have a body or not. We will deal with it elaborately in the next sutra. For this particular sutra, it is enough to note that Devatas have body on the basis of Shastra Pramana. We are going to analyze this more later, as I told. And when there is going to be a fight, actually, at that time, there is going to be a fight even between Badarayana, there is Vedavyasa and Jaimini, his own student, fight between Guru and Shishya. Badarayana says, Devas have got body. And Purvamimamsaka, Jaimini says, they do not have body. We are going to see all those discussions at that time, interesting. So it is enough to note that Devadas have Vigrahavatvam. So that is Vigrahavatvam, Sambhavat. Because of these three conditions being there, all are fulfilled. They have Shastra Adhikara. They can learn Shastras. This is the essence of the first sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis now. There are five words here in this sutra. Tat, Upari, Api, Badarayanaha, Sambhava. Tat, Upari, Api, Badarayanaha, Sambhava. Five words. Now we have to supply the words adhikarinaha iti manyate. These three we have to supply. Adhikarinaha iti manyate. Three more words. Then we have to rearrange the sutra. Tat upari api adhikarinaha sambhavat. Tat upari api, that is the paksha. Adhikarinaha is sadhya and sambhavat hetu. All this definition, all this I have told. Pakshaha, sadhya, hetu. All that. Then Iti Badarayanaha Manyate. This is the complete sutra. Now the first sutra, that is what? Tat Upari Api Adhikarinaha Sambhavatam Iti Badarayanaha Manyate. The first word is what? Tat. Tat means here Tasya or Tesham. Tesham Manushyanam, human beings, refers to human beings. So Shashtyarthe Prathamaha, for sixth case Prathamaha, Tat is equal to Tasya, Manushyasya, Manushyanam. Upari means Uparishtaha Devataha. The higher celestials, Devatas, the heavenly beings. Therefore, Tat Upari means the celestials who are above or higher than human beings. So Manushyasya Uparishtaha Devataha. Those Devatas who are higher than human beings. And the next word is api. Api means also. Adhikarinaha, they are also qualified. Api, adhikarinaha, they are also qualified, have the right for Shastric study. And what is the significance of the word also, api? Because in the previous adhikaranam, manushyanam adhikaraha was said. We said human beings are entitled to the rituals. And now we add to that is devatas also can do it. That is why api, devatas api. Then the next word is sambhavat. Because of the presence of the conditions or factors for Shastric studies. So adhikara karana sambhavat. And what are the factors for adhikara karana? Artitvam, dakshatvam, apradishiddhatvam, sambhavat. So all these things they are there. Tesham adhikaraha vartate. They have the adhikara. Who? Devatas. Therefore now it is clear that devatas also have the right for Vedantic study. Because they fulfill all the three conditions. With this, the first sutra is now over. Now, Shankaracharya, he includes a Purvapakshi. Because without Purvapakshi, Brahma Sutra is not going to be complete. So, who is going to be the Purvapakshi here? The Purva Mimamsaka is the Purvapaksha here. And here, the Purva Mimamsaka refers to a portion in the Purva Mimamsa section. There is a portion whether devatas have right to do rituals or not. In Purva Mimamsa, there is a discussion whether they have the right to do the rituals or not. There they have established that devatas and rishis also. The rishis and devatas, they do not have karma adhikaraha. Where it is established? In the sutra, Purva Mimamsa sutras. And the essence of the two sutras, there are two sutras are mentioned here. All the rituals are defined as offering of oblations in the fire, which is meant for various devatas. Indra Yaswaha, Prajapati Yaswaha, Parameshtin Yaswaha, for all of them, the ahutis are offered, meant for those devatas. So in the yaga, devatas are the beneficiaries because they receive the oblations. The benefactors are the manushyas. Suppose the devatas also give oblations. What will happen? Devatas are receivers of the oblations and it is conducted for devatas. Therefore, yaga is not a yaga without devatas receiving the oblations. And if they have adhikara for performing the yagas, they will be givers of the oblations and then who will be the receivers? Because devatas, their livelihood is based on the oblations given by manushyas. As this is not possible, manushyas are offerers and devatas are the receivers of oblations. And this is extended to the rishis also, as you do to the devatas, rishis. Rishis are also invoked before employing any mantra. For any mantra, you invoke the rishis. And that is why it is said devatas are invoked in the heart. So the rishis are invoked, you know, for everything. Parabrahma rishihi, trishtup chandaha, paramatma devata. So you invoke the rishis and invoke the chandas and also the devatas. And the rishis are always invoked in Vedic rites. And the manushyas are invokers and rishis are always invoked. Manushyas are the one who invoke the rishis and devatas. So if devatas and rishis, they start performing rituals, none will be there to receive the oblations or to invoke. So the Purva Mimamsakas, they have concluded that rishis and devatas have no Veda Karma Adhikara. This is said in Jaimini Sutra. Who is Jaimini? Jaimini is Veda Vyasa's student. So in Jaimini Sutras 6.1.6 and 6.1.7. Na devanam devatantara abhavat. It's a sutra. Na devanam devatantara abhavat. And then the next sutra. Na rishinam arshayantara abhavat. So for devatas and rishis, there is no adhikara to do these rituals. So these two sutras, 6.1.6, 1.7 of Jaimini Sutras, Purva Mimamsa Sutras. And based on this, the Purvapakshi says, this rule should be extended to Vedanta also. When these rules are there for Vedic karmas, it should be extended to Vedanta also.
And now Shankaracharya, he answers by saying, I don't want to dispute your conclusion. He very clearly mentions, okay. But your conclusion should be, what is the problem with your conclusion? You confine your conclusion to karma kanda only. Confine it to the rituals, karma kanda. This conclusion, I don't want to challenge or question. Your conclusion with respect to karma kanda, I don't want to even challenge or question that. But with respect to jnana kanda, this conclusion is incorrect. Who says? Shankaracharya says, this conclusion is incorrect with respect to jnana kanda. Devatas also have adhikara. So why does Acharya argue like this? The reason is, Purvapakshi, he refuted adhikara for devatas and rishis in the field of karma. For what reason? Because karma involves invocation of devatas and rishis, and therefore devatas cannot perform, and karma involves invocation of rishis also, therefore rishis also cannot perform karma. These two reasons are not there in jnana kanda. Here there is no invocation of any devata. The moment you invoke and all that thing, it becomes upasana. There is no invocation of any devata in jnana kanda. Since invocation problems are not there, devatas are not restricted. In fact, the devatas fulfill the conditions to perform yaga and also gain self-knowledge. So having given the logical argument, Shankaracharya quotes Shastric supports also in favor of that. In all the Upanishads, it is mentioned that devatas gain self-knowledge. How they gain self-knowledge? Again, traditional way only, by approaching to a guru. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, a guru. And in Keno Upanishad, we already saw, devatas get, Indra and other devatas, they get self-knowledge from Uma Devi herself. Tasmatva yete devam atitaram ivam anyan devan yadagnirvayu rindraham tehenan nedishtam pasparsham tehenat prathamo vidanchakara brahmeti. Similarly, rishis also have the right for self-knowledge. Rishis have got right for self-knowledge as stated in the Bhrguvalli portion of Taittiriya Upanishad, third chapter. Bhrgurvaiva runihi varunam pitaramupasasara adhihi bhagavo brahmeti tagumho vacha. To show that rishis also have got adhikaram for self-knowledge, jnanam. And in Kaivalya Upanishad, same idea is given. Om atham Ashwala yanaha bhagavantam parameshtinam upasamethyevacha adihi bhagavan brahma vidyam varishtam sada sadbihi sevyamanami gudham. And we have many shruti pramanas to support our stand, Acharya says. And in also in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, first chapter, fourth section, 10th mantra, the same idea was given. Brahma va idamagra asit tadatmanameva avet aham brahmasmiti tasmat sat sarvam abhavat tadyoyo devanam pratyabudhyatam sayeva tadabhavat satarshinam tatha manushyanam. The last sentence, tatha rishinam tatha manushyanam. Here it is said, whether whomsoever gains self-knowledge will get sarvatma bhava. Whether it is a rishi or devata or manushyana, whomsoever it is, they will get sarvatma bhava. They will gain jnanam. So the gods undergo discipleship, studenthood, in order to attain knowledge. And we also read in Chandogya Upanishad, 7th chapter, 7th section, 11th mantra, Indra lived as a disciple with Prajapati for how many years? 101 years. Indra had to spend so long a time with Prajapati to learn Atma Vidya. So all the three have adhikara. All the three means manushyas, devatas and rishis. They all of them have adhikara. And we have yukti pramana, also shruti pramanams to support our stand. So this is the first sutra of the sentence. It's over. Let us go to the second sutra.
विरोधः कर्मणीति चेत् अनेक प्रतिपत्तेः दर्शनात् विरोधः कर्मणि इति चेत् अनेक प्रतिपत्तेः दर्शनात् 27th सूत्र थर्ड पाद फर्स्ट चैप्टर 90th रनिंग ब्रह्मसूत्र फर्स्ट लेट अस सी दि जनरल एनालिसिस दि सूत्र कंसिस्ट ऑफ टू पोर्शंस वन इज दि पूर्वपक्षा पोर्शन दैट इज अप टू कर्माणि अप टू दैट विरोधः कर्माणि अप टू दैट एंड देन इति चेत अनेक प्रतिपत्तेः दर्शनात् that is the Siddhanti's answer. So an objection against the Sutra 26, the previous Sutra that we read just now, against that Sutra is raised and negated in this Sutra. And it is based on the previous Sutra where we said Devatas have got eligibility for Jnanakanda. And as we saw earlier, the middle factor, dakshatva, the capability to do shravanam, mananam, nididhyasana, which Shankaracharya indicated as vigrahavatvam, that we just saw, is being negated by the Purvapakshi here. Here the Purvapakshi says that devatas have no shariram, according to Advaitins. The body is not visible to our eyes. The body is gross enough to have a body, but it is not good enough for our perception. That's what we say. So Purva Mimamsakas, they believe in Vedas, but not in Devatas in physical form. Even though they believe in Vedas, they do not believe Devatas having physical form. So other than the word Indra, there is no physical Indra, according to them. So also other Devatas like Varuna, Agni and all of them, even though there is this word Indra, Varuna, Agni, there is no physical Indra, Varuna, Agni. They are in Shabda Rupa, according to that. This is their strong argument. Purva Mimamsakas, strong argument is, all Devatas are only in Shabda Rupam. They are not in physical form, embodied. Even Ishvara, they do not accept. They contend, the Lord takes care of all actions, karma. And there is the need for Ishvara at all. They are not Ramana Vakyas. We say Devatas do not have gross body, but we say Devatas have got body, subtle body. So discussion is whether Devatas have any body at all or not. If Devatas have bodies, there will be a problem. Because if Devatas have the according to Purvapakshis, so if Devatas have the body, then they have to physically take part in the rituals, the yagas. So among the people who claim Devatas don't have body, the Purva Mimamsakas don't believe in Devatas as Karmapala Datas also. So according to them, they are Shabda Rupa Devatas. So other than the words Varuna, Indra and all that thing, they don't have physical Varuna, physical Indra, physical Agni. So Indra as Shabda gives Palam in their view, as Shabda itself gives Palam. So similarly, by extension, even Ishvara, they do not accept, as I said, the actions give results and they don't believe in Ishvara. There is no need for karma pala data at all. Your own actions give results. So even Ishvara's descriptions are taken as Arthavada only by the Purva Mimamsakas. We say Devatas also have got body. And the following sutra that we are going to study in this particular adhikaranam, they deal with the question whether Devatas have the body or not. For example, the Yajamana has physical body. The person who does an Ajnana, does Yajamana, he has physical body. And they physically take part in the ritual. So also in the case of all the Devatas, if that is the case, what will be the problem? For example, one Ritvik can take part in one ritual only at one time. If he is doing a particular yajna, he cannot be doing another yajna at the same time. So if one yajamana gives higher dakshina, he may go there. He may not be even in your yajna. So he can be only in one place. So all because a priest can take part in one ritual only at a time. So if devatas have to take part in rituals, and if one devata takes part in one ritual, and many people perform the same ritual, at the same time, where will Indra or Varuna or Agni will go? So if he does to go to one place, he cannot go to the other place where the offerings are made. So as many people perform offerings, so many Indras, so many Prajapati, so many Varuna should be there. They are required. And there will be a problem. Shariram is there for the Deva. This is Purva Mimamsaka's, Purva Pakshi's argument. Whereas in case of Shabda Rupa Indra, such a problem will not arise. This is the contradiction and objection. So, the Purva Mimamsaka raises the objection that Indra and other Devatas do not have any Shariram. And they are Shabda Rupena Devatas. And without Shariram, they cannot do rituals and offer oblations. And so Vedanta Vichara will not apply to them. This is the argument of Purva Mimamsaka. And the reply given by Acharya, what does he say? Actually, he gives two answers to the question. Number one, Devatas have powers to assume many roles to take with their power of Siddhi. One Siddhi is the capacity to have many bodies at the same time. Shankaracharya quotes Smriti and other Pramanas, which we will see later also. Only difference between Devata and Manushya is Devata need not do any work, but Manushyas have to work to gain that status of yoga. All the Siddhi and all. In support of the Shankaracharya, he quotes Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 9th section, 2nd mantra. Saho vacham mahimana eva yesham yete atra yastrigumshatveva deva iti. Yastrigumshatveva deva iti. Trigumshat. Katame tetra yastrigumshatityaskav iti ashtav asavaham ekadasha rudraha dvadasha adityaha ekatrigumshatit Indraschaiva Prajapatischam Trayastrikum Shaviti. Yagyavalkya there answers, there are only 33 devatas or gods, he says. These others, all others are only manifestation of these 33 only. Discussion we went through in Brihadaranyaka. And which are those 33? He says the 8 Vasus, Ashta Vasus, the 11 Rudras. Ekadasha Rudras, Ashta Vasus, and Dvadasha Adityas. 12 Adityas. So all these put together becomes 31. Indra and Prajapati add to them, it will make 33. This is the reply to the question, how many Devatas are there? When somebody asked to Yajnavalkya. So first of all, Yajnavalkya said 3,000 and all Devatas are there. And Yagyavalkya then answers, and in fact, I need not enumerate them. They are only extension of 33 devatas only, he said. Then Sakalya, another scholar, he asked, are there 33 devatas? And Yagyavalkya says that there are only 6 devatas. And he asked him, are there 33? He says, only there are 6. And again, he asked the question, are there 6 devatas? Then he says, there are only 3 devatas. And when he asked again, are there 3 devatas? Then he says, ultimately, there is only 1. So devata is there. And that is Prajapati in 3rd chapter, 9th section, 2nd mantra. So only 1 devata only is there. That is what Yajnavalkya's ultimate answer. And also in the 1st chapter, 4th section of Brihadaranyaka again, he says, there is only 1 Prajapati who assumes many bodies. Agni, again, there is Shruti Pramana, and one Indra can assume many bodies. This is the first answer to the Purvapaksha. And then there is a second interpretation also. The Purvapaksha said, if Devata is embodied, he cannot take place simultaneously in many rituals. As the priest is embodied in one ritual, he cannot go to take part in another ritual, many rituals. Adi Shankaracharya says, no. And he says that there are exceptions to this rule. He says, suppose there is a guru or some brahmana or a respectable person and he is standing in one place and so many people, what they do namaskarams to him. And the one who does namaskara is also embodied and the one to whom namaskaras are done, he is also embodied, that guru. So if the person, somebody's mic is still on, but they are not turning off the microphone. If the person to whom namaskaras are done, he cannot bless all the persons who do namaskaras. But still people do namaskaras. Why? Because you are sure that namaskaras will produce the benefit for you as also for the other persons. Therefore, this yogabhat angabhavaha. That yogabhat angabhavaha sambhavati. Even yogabhatas are embodied. These are the two answers. Okay. So even if they are all embodied, by doing this namaskaram, they still have the benefit. So first let us take the Purvapakshi part and we have two words. When we do the word analysis. Virodaha karmani. Which we rearrange as karmani virodaha. We'll put it the other way. Under what condition? We have to supply here. Dehanam. So dehanam vigrahatva sati. Karmani karmani virodha dehanam vigrahatva satim karmani virodha pad deva devatas the dehas. If the physical body is there in the field of rituals, dehanam vigrahatva satim, in the field of rituals, karmani virodha, virodha means there will be contradiction. Karmani in the field of rituals, virodha, there will be contradiction. So many simultaneous rituals are impossible. I don't know whomsoever it is. Please, will you be able to turn off your microphone? I'm not seeing, still seeing this. Actually, there's a something to raise your hand also. Galaxy S10, please. It's so distracting. I don't know, otherwise, I don't know what to do with this. Last class also, we went through the same thing. So dehana vigrahatve sati karmani virodaha pada devatas. If the physical body is there, I might ask for stop. I guess it is getting in the field of rituals virodaha, there will be contradiction. How? I don't know how I can. So many simultaneous rituals are impossible, that we already said. Whereas Veda accepts many simultaneous rituals, whereas in your theory, many simultaneous rituals are impossible. And that is the Vedic contradiction. What is the example? Just as a priest cannot simultaneously take part in many rituals, this is the Purvapaksha. He has given this objection. Then iti chet. Now Siddhanti's answer comes. Iti chet, if such objection is raised, na. It is not logical. Why? Aneka pratipattehe darshanat. The word aneka pratipattehi is interpreted in two different ways also. It gives two different answers. Now let us see the first interpretation. Aneka pratipattehi means aneka sharira pratipattehi, taking many bodies simultaneously. By whom? We have to supply devatanam or devatabihi. By the devatas. Taking many bodies. Therefore, devatas assuming many bodies simultaneously, darshanat, that is mentioned in the shastras. Shastra darshanam is there. So, shastreshu darshanatim, shruti smritishu darshanatim. And when you say aneka shariram, it need not be even Indra shariram. In the Puranas, we have seen stories that Indra taking other bodies also. The Ahalya story is there. Therefore, not only they can take many bodies, each body can be different also and can be even animal body one can take. And the siddhis, ashta siddhis they have. Anima, mahima, chaiva, lagima, garima, tatha, praptihi, prakamyam, ishitvam, vashitvam, cha ashta siddhayaha. So in all these ashta siddhis, prakamyam is one of the siddhis, fulfilling whatever desire one has. Even ishitvam, being a mini Ishwara. Just Ishwara can create a world. These Siddhas can create Trishanku Swarga. Therefore, all the Siddhis are seen in the Shastras. Therefore, Aneka Pratipattehe Darshanat. Since in the Shastras we see Devatas assuming many bodies simultaneously, there is no contradiction. So one Indra can go to any number of rituals simultaneously and take the Khavir Baham also. Then comes the second interpretation of Aneka Pratipattihim. What is that? Anekatram ekasyam pratipattihi. Aneka means in many places. Pratipattihi means taking part. So angabhavaha, you have to supply ekasya, one devata. Therefore, aneka pratipattihi means one devata taking part in many places. First interpretation is one devata taking many bodies. One devata taking many bodies and going to so many places. The other one is one devata taking part in many places. The second interpretation is one devata taking part in many rituals. So darshanath. Darshanath means is seen by us. In what context? Namaskaradishu. Acharya says in the context of receiving namaskaras, where one guru takes part in the namaskaras of 10, 20, 100,000 disciples simultaneously. How does he take part? As a receiver of namaskaras. Therefore, aneka pratipattehe darshanatim karmanam virodaha nasti. There is no virodha at all, objection at all. With this, the second sutra also is over. Second adhikarman is also over. Now we will go to the next sutra. The second sutra of this adhikarman is over. Now let us go to the next sutra in the next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya ya parasa maheshwaraha. Om purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om shanti shanti shanti. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.